Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris joining me. We got a lot of catching up to do in 2007. Survivor Series 07 is part of this show. We'll get through that. And two pretty good championship matches in the main event, including a shocking return that will set up a championship win for, you know. Raw and SmackDown kind of had themes in the 2000s, and it's very apparent. But there's other musings that we'll get to. We'll save much of the CM Punkness for next week. Although, like, I do find it funny, because have you looked at this man since he came back to WWE? Like, have you, like, visually looked at him since he's come back to WWE? Right? Does he not look happy? Does he not look like a man that just has had a 10-year wait lifted off of his shoulders, that he ain't got a harbor anymore? It's just funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And everyone's like, oh, you know, when's it going to backfire or whatever? But I think it's nice that he's happy right now, and maybe it will backfire. But, I mean, he genuinely does seem to be trying to make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's good. Like, that's what he should be doing. And I think it's a little different because, you know, it is kind of his last chance. I don't think that AEW would take him back, even if they could. I mean, I'm sure some want to, but I think it would ultimately just do too much damage. So yeah, this is kind of it for him. And you know, he had the segment with Kevin Owens, you know, we don't like each other, but we can work together because we're adults segment. That was a big step. And yeah, man, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, I think that the reaction to most of this has been kind of amusing in sort of a way, because it feels like people were expecting him to just, like, turn every promo into Festivus and, you know, air the grievances constantly. But, like,
it is funny, he kind of did that, just, and no one really cared.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I don't have really much of an issue with anything that's going on here. I feel like he's doing a great job. I feel like they're doing a good job of having him make the towns and go around. I feel like, you know, the NXT stuff was cool on Saturday. I thought it was neat that they did this backstage stuff with Cora. Obviously, she's a big fan. She had met him at a meet and greet one time. She'd met Bailey at a meet and greet one time as well. So it's cool that she's able to live out these, you know, fan fantasies or whatever. And also cool that they're playing into it, at least backstage for social media. Better to do that than have it on TV. But you know, it's all really cool, and I don't have an issue with it at all.
Yeah, nobody should. Everybody should look at it as just. And then when I say it's funny, I'm not saying that as like, oh, he's doing a rib or anything like that. I mean, like, I genuinely think it's funny when you look at this man compared to what he looked like in AEW, and it looked like he was just so tired. Tired of what exactly? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. Tired of what? But I think it's just very apparent the difference is night and day between when he left AEW and now he's back in WWE. It just seems like he's just happy. And that's great for fucking everybody. as a happy CM Punk. Nobody wants someone that's haggard and tired and doesn't want to be here. He looks like he wants to be here, and that's really all that anybody could hope for. And yeah, we'll see what comes of they're laying on the Seth stuff thick. So we'll see what comes Monday. I loved this product. I thought he was in good form on Friday. With everything and like, yeah, making the shout out to Heyman, that may be a setup for something down the line, but you know, we'll get there when we get there. Deadline, as you guys mentioned, was last night. I did not peek in the deadline, to be honest with you. NXT today is not my kind of groove, but I saw that Baron Corbin had a championship match. Was it a good championship match?
It was
good.
He's been really good since he went back to NXT. I think he's always been pretty good, honestly. It just, you know, the joke stuff that he's been stuck with for the past 5 years kind of wore thin on some people, and he feuded with Roman for, you know, a year and a half, and people got tired of it. Yeah. But it was good. You know, Dragunov's very good. He's at the kind of Gunther point where he can just kind of have a good match with anyone. And, yeah, it was a good show, though, and I think Corbin kind of rising the occasion like that was good. That feud actually was pretty good, too, and I think the match really was a good way to cap that off. And, yeah, the show did a lot of good kind of storytelling, set the table for a couple things coming up, and it was a good show. It was a lot of fun. There wasn't much else on last night, so it was like, you know, watch this, and it was a good time.
Damn, way to shoot down the in-season tournament championship, man. I saw that, what the fuck happened? God damn it. It was just right on the tip of my tongue and I already forgot it. Either way, Iron Survivor. Explain to me how Iron Survivor worked. Cause it seemed just like what did they call it? The, not the six pack challenge.
The scramble.
I was going to say, we get to it next year in 08, but it seems like a scramble.
Yes. Yeah. So it does kind of play off of that. So basically the gist is there's five people in the match, starts off with two, every 5 minutes it comes in until they get to the 15 minute mark when everyone's in. If you get pinned or made to submit, you have to go in a penalty box for a minute and 30. That's kind of taking King of the Mountain TNA inspiration there.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
And the goal is to have the most falls before the end of the match in 25 minutes.
Okay. And Trick Williams won that?
He did. It was interesting how they did that because he had no falls going into like the final 5 minutes of the match. And they were starting to set it up to where you thought like, oh, is he going to just like get all four like really quickly and take the lead going into the buzzer? And that's exactly what happened. It was actually really well done. I like what they did with Braun when he initially entered the match. He came in there, he hit three spears in a row for three pinfalls in a row. They made him look
good. That's what I wanted to ask.
And he was actually the last guy that Trick took out, so that was cool.
That's what I wanted to ask. Why is Braun Breaker still in NXT? It don't seem like that man got anything left to do in NXT.
I feel like at this point, though, you're better off just waiting until after Mania because you're putting people in terrible spots right now.
No, I mean, I agree on that part. Like, we're kind of at the point where, like, why are you calling him up now? But it just seems like he could have been up a long time ago. And we're just waiting and begging for it. And the longer the wait happens, it just, I don't think he has anything left to do. I don't think he's the reason NXT is going to get ratings on Tuesday. So it's just like, yeah, he's there. We'll call him up when we need him.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the mid-card titles right now are kind of tied up, which doesn't help.
That's the problem. That's really the big issue for me with most of the call-ups is I don't think that there's a guy who you can call up right away and say, oh, okay, he's going to be in title contention right away. I don't think that there's I think Braun is the closest to that, but it's not something you want to do right away. So the fact that the mid-card titles are tied up is sort of the issue. Once Gunther drops, I think that makes it really interesting for a lot of people. But after that, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Anything else from current day we really got to riff the raff about, or can we get this night going?
Yeah, I don't believe so. Bryan Danielson's a cop now.
I feel like he's always been a cop.
Well, fair.
Roman's coming back.
Yeah, Roman's back next week.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. To the cop part about Daniel Bryan, like, I feel like he's getting prepped to, like, truly become authority when he first had to retire. So, like, this is kind of nothing new. I just think he may be taking it to, like, Randall types of levels. You remember Randall from Recess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I call a snitch. If I have deemed you a snitch in my eyes, you have officially been branded as a Randall. I don't know. Daniel Bryan may have seemed like he has Randall in him the entire time. If you go back and watch the vegan gimmick, you know, it seems like, you know, there's some tendencies that might have foreshadowed this.
Yeah, you know, fair enough.
Yeah. All right. 2007, we got Survivor. We're leading into Survivor Series, correct?
We are. We are starting with Survivor Series, kind of breaking the format that we usually do here. But Survivor Series, November 18th, Miami, Florida, the American Airlines Arena.
Now see called how it looked the, on GTA? It looked beautiful on GTA.
It did.
I didn't think it looked that nice from the outside. He proved the shit out of that place.
That game's going to be very good.
So good. Yes, American Airlines Arena, or the arena originally. This pay-per-view is so fun. I remember, this is maybe the second to last pay-per-view I ever actually bought before Justin TV came and changed my life. So remember VHSing this, because this was back in the day and age where VHSs still exist. The VHS/DVD combo, kids, it's a relic. You'll find it in a museum in about 10 years. This was just an overall fun pay-per-view. A low-key hit of a theme song. Because I forgot what the theme song was. I'm like, I remember really liking the theme song, but I don't remember what it was. And the second the open started playing, I'm like, oh, first off, thank God they kept it in. Because most of the theme songs, they have just, you know, splashed on some generic shit. But the fact they kept in Tick, Tick, Boom is really wonderful. I thought it was a good song for this pay-per-view and the theme of it, and it was fun. And also, they tipped you off to what was going to happen. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But they totally let you know, some fuckery is going to happen in the main event. Just you wait.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fair enough. So we start with CM Punk against Miz against Morrison for the ECW Championship. Miz and Morrison work together a little bit at first, but that doesn't last per usual. Eventually, Punk throws Morrison out of the ring and hits a GTS on Miz to get the win. Really good match. Good opener. Fun little, it got the job done.
Yeah, fun. I think this is the last we see of the trio going up against each other, because this is really just kill two birds with one stone type of deal. You get CM Punk a championship match, opens the card. He's, feeling hot right now. And then you're establishing Miz and Morrison as a tag team. And we're going to see over the next year and a half, you know, what that meant. But, you know, this is an important, when you actually think about it, laying it out, an important match for the show. You know, because it's setting up the future of the company, really. When you look at, how these three are going to play into the company over the next 5 years. But it was solid. It was a real solid opener. Miami is a good crowd, and they really liked it. Better than the next couple, but shit.
Yeah. MVP says Matt Hardy will not be competing tonight as a member of the Babyface Survivor Series team, because he took him out last week after they lost tag titles. Babyfaces are down a man going into it, so this was not great.
So fucking dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't really like when they just take a guy out without replacing him. Like, there's no real reason for it.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason for it. You have ample people in that backstage that folks will cheer for, or maybe a surprise.
Exactly.
I was thinking about that in contrast to Triple H currently, and, you know, the whole CM Punk thing, and the fact that, you know, if Vince was in charge, that this would never happen. Why? Because Vince was never into giving the fans what they want. It's what Vince wants. It's Vince's show. So Vince is going to put forth what Vince wants. And for some reason, Vince wanted a 5-on-4 so he could showcase that, you know, the faces, the baby faces can overcome adversity. People don't give a fuck about that. The fans don't care about that. Go ahead.
Or my favorite Vince move of the late 2010s was giving people what they want, but under their terms and on like certain conditions. Yes. Like, oh, okay, yes, we are going to make the women main event WrestleMania, and Becky's going to win, but her first feud is going to be with Lacey Evans, and she's going to be stuck with her for 3 months trying to train her to be good because we want her to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want Daniel Bryan as your champion? Here's all of the hoops we are going to throw him to, and then his first championship reign, we're going to throw him Kane. And then, whoops, guess that shit's over. Oh, you loved Kofi Mania that much? All right, he's gonna have a 7th month reign. That's a really good reign. Oh, who are his opponents? Dolph Ziggler. He got Randy for a little bit, and yo, that's fine. But guess what? He lost it in 7 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. It's about what I want. Yeah. You know, it's so poor. It's so tiresome that thank God we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelly, Maria, Michelle, Mickey, and Tori defeat Beth, Jillian, Layla, Melina, and Victoria. So the women had a traditional Survivor Series match there.
What was the point?
Yeah, you know.
This was back in their, we have to do this because we have an obligation to.
Yeah.
So, really nothing eventful there at all, unfortunately.
Kate Murdoch defend the titles against Oracle Holly and Cody Rhodes. The babyface are with Todd Grisham. Triple H talks about how they can all come together and get along, even though they have their differences. And Kane says, like, when Triple H called him a murderer, and Jeff Hardy says when Triple H put him in the hospital. Good.
I think Hunter put Hardy in the hospital in 2001, right?
Yeah,
I think he did. Yeah,
the two-man power trip. Yeah. Which is funny because it was over the IC title, which Hardy has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, every person having a gripe against Triple H, like, it was funny. That was really good.
All right.
It's like everyone having a gripe against Jey Uso.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true.
But just a lot more direct and kind of funny here in this case.
Yeah. Which, by the way, yeet.
Yeah.
Yeet.
They got it, man.
They got it back. Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, we got it. Yeet! Oh, gosh. You're fucking up. They're going to exploit the shit out of that on Monday.
All right, so Triple H, Kane, Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio take on Kennedy, Umaga, MVP, Viscera, and Finlay. Kane gets eliminated by Viscera right away, so the babyfaces are down 5-3 now. 5-3, so not great. Umaga eliminates Rey, so it's 5-2. Damn. Then Jeff Hardy eliminates MVP, gets some revenge for his brother, and Triple H eliminates Kennedy, Viscera, Finlay, and then pedigrees Umaga and tags Jeff, who hits the Swanton for the win. So Jeff Hardy and Triple H are your survivors, which very clear that they're getting Jeff ready for something.
Yeah, and we'll see why in a few months, why they got stunted, but they're prepping Jeff, and they wanted really hard to push this, and like, you could have pushed it without having to do 5-on-2. I mean, to be fair, it's not even like the heels are that strong. Look at who's on the heel side. Name me one truly strong heel on that side.
Yeah, I mean, like, MVP's had the U.S. title for a long time, but it hasn't really been, like, a focus. Or, I mean, Umaga, I guess, but he lasted to the end.
But we kind of know who Umaga is.
Yeah, you know? Kennedy at this point, they're not really trying anymore.
Nah, and, so it's just a waste. And, you know, hey, I guess it did what it had to do, but in the end, it was a waste of 20-plus minutes, I guess.
It was.
Yeah.
We then see Shaquille O'Neal and some of his children in the crowd. Miami Heat star Shaquille O'Neal.
Cop.
Big wrestling fan.
Big Miami cop.
Vince talks to Hornswoggle about his match with Khali. Vince says he made the match because Hornswoggle's last name is McMahon. As McMahon, he always rises to the occasion, overcomes the odds. Vince was an underdog against Ted Turner and against the government, and maybe against the government again right now, which I would stop talking about. But yeah, it was a little pep talk. Khali and Hornswoggle get ready to have their match. Shane McMahon comes out to support his brother. The fans are convinced that Shaq's going to go help, and he does not help. Hornswoggle gets a shillelagh, but Khali grabs it from him and throws it away. And he goes for the vice grip, but Finley comes out with the shillelagh and attacks Khali instead, and that's that. So now Finley and Khali are feuding. Get some more faces in the crowd, such as Johnny Damon and Alfonso Soriano.
Incredibly random.
Yeah, like the two of them. Yeah. I mean, Soriano, we would see at various games or various shows, pulled up in Chicago at Judgment Day a few years after this. I don't think I've ever seen Johnny Damon in the crowd, though.
He's a good wrestling guy, man. He was at Alexa's wedding with Ryan Caberi.
Yo, we got to talk about this, man. We got to talk about Brad Nessler. Because, yeah. Like, this man is a mark? He's talking about stuff that happened in August that I don't even remember happening. Talking about
Cross hasn't been on TV since August. What? Yeah.
And they're, like, openly killing Karrion Kross on live television? Is this man a mark? Oh, incredible. My God.
Like, just completely random, out of nowhere shit. And just, hell yeah.
That was, I would love to know how that came about.
I really do.
Genuinely.
Like, that might be the highlight of 2023, is seeing Brad Nessler call a wrestling match and low-key finding out that Brad Nessler is one of us. Oh, man. Like, the range of wrestling fan is so funny when you, like, really get to see who actually enjoys this stuff. It's not as, like, is not as minuscule as you've been made to believe. It's not as what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say taboo, because taboo is not a really good word for it. But like the way that people will shun you for being a wrestling fan, there's a lot more than us than you think. It's always cool when folks come out the woodwork like, yeah, I like this shit.
And especially too, like before 2001, like I know the Attitude Era, everyone talks about, oh, it was so cool and everything. But going back before that, like, 35 million people watched the Hogan and Andre thing on NBC. So, I mean, like, it was a big deal. And, like, you got the territories and stuff. And, like,
I was going to say, where is Brad Nessler from? Because that would give you a good explanation. He's from St. Charles, Minnesota. So,
yeah, so
he's
AWA.
Got a lot of AWA, probably.
Yeah.
And he's what, like 65? So, yeah, it was kind of right in their heyday.
Yeah, 67. Yeah. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
I think he's friends with JR too, which would make sense.
That would make sense. Big college football guy.
I'm sure he's friends with Flair. Flair's at all the college football stuff these days.
Maybe Taker too, because Taker's there. You know, he'll get to know all of the Oklahoma and Texas. Well, actually, he won't, because he'll be doing Big Ten football.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks. That really sucks. Either way, that was so fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, so we move on to one of my favorite matches of all time, Randy Orton versus Shawn Michaels for the WWE Championship.
Good.
Michaels can't use the Sweet Chin music, and Randy Orton can't get disqualified, otherwise he will lose the title. So eventually, Shawn has Randy in a sharpshooter at Survivor Series 10 years after the
match. That sharpshooter was so fucking brilliant. Real quick.
Randy went for a punt.
Real quick.
Shawn countered the ankle lock. Shawn countered Randy's power slam. Went for the kick, realized he couldn't do it, but then took a huge RKO for the loss. Really a tremendous match, but then after the match, Shawn,
Real quick, leading into the sharpshooter was the tease of the super kick. And I thought that spot was so goddamn brilliant because of the stipulation, because we were waiting for it, and Randy curdled. He was waiting for it. And then he dropped him pulled him up for the sharpshooter, and that crowd exploded. That was such a hot fucking spot. Everybody was into this match. You know, and folks have been wanting Michaels to win the championship forever, obviously, and you know, he never got it back. But whenever he's in that championship match, everybody's on the edge of their seats, and folks are so in tune with this match. Brilliant from everybody. One of my favorite Orton matches, period. I think if you go down the line of like Randy, Michaels has to be top three.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, pulling out kind of all the submissions against guys that he had faced in the past, just because like, oh, those are ones that he would know. And the little hesitation, the timing on that, you know, where Randy just hits the RKO right in that little split second was incredible, too.
Yeah, everyone did their job. Everyone got the assignment. It was a great way to cap off this feud.
Very much so. Tomorrow night on Raw, the code will be broken.
It sure will.
And then we move on to our main event, which was The Undertaker versus Batista for the World Heavyweight title inside Hell in a Cell. This is the cap off to pretty much what's been the feud of the year on SmackDown. These two have worked well together all year. They worked well again in this match. Taker kicked out of a Batista bomb that went through a table. Batista went for one on the steps, sort of what happened at the Hell in a Cell match with him and Triple H. But Taker backdropped him onto him, pinned him. Batista got the rope to break it. Probably shouldn't be a thing in Hell in a Cell, but whatever. Batista kicked out of a tombstone. Taker did the tombstone on the steps and covered Batista. However, Edge came out from underneath the ring. He was hiding underneath there. He pulled the referee out. He hit Taker with a camera and did the concerto on the steps and put Batista on top of Taker for the victory.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, man. Edge, I didn't even really remember that it happened here.
And they tipped you off in the lead up to the pay-per-view that something with Edge was going to happen, or that something key with Edge was going to happen, because who's front and center on all of the advertising for Survivor Series, despite not having a single match advertised on the card? Ladies and gentlemen, it was Edge holding a what are them damn things? The chainsaws. RIP Chainsaw Charlie. There's Edge holding a chainsaw. You're like, wait, this man doesn't have a match. Why is he on the fucking advertising? Because they told you he's coming back. Like, they were like, hey, hey, some fuckery's gonna happen in this title match. You think Taker's winning? Fuck you. Anyway, no, it was a great match. Good Hell in a Cell match, by the way.
Yeah, really good show overall, honestly. All right, we're getting to Raw the next evening from Fort Lauderdale. Randy Orton's having a passing of the torch ceremony tonight, so there's a guy running from Miami to Fort Lauderdale with a torch. Shawn Michaels is here. He wants to shake Randy's hand tonight. Randy's on the screen, says absolutely not. Randy thinks that Shawn would just kick him again, and Shawn says that that is what he was going to do, so, you know. Randy's not giving him a rematch. He's proven his point enough. Tonight there's going to be a passing of the torch. Randy comes off the Titantron, and Kennedy calls Shawn a loser. Then they brawl, and then they're going to have a match, but they just brawl some more, and Shawn throws a chair at him. Jerry Lawler beats Santino, and then Randy Orton comes out and RKOs Lawler. Owned. Kennedy wanted to show Shawn some respect, and Shawn kicked a chair into his face. Kennedy said that Shawn sees his career evaporating and now has to try and cope with guys like Kennedy and Orton being more popular and successful than him. It's not going to happen. Carlito likes what Vince did to Hornswoggle at Survivor Series to teach him a lesson, and Vince says that Carlito can face Hornswoggle tonight. Jeff Hardy and Umaga have a really nice match, as they have been doing, but gets to a disqualification finish when Snitsky comes out and attacks Jeff, and then Triple H comes out to even the odds. They will have a tag match next week. Triple H tells Todd Grisham that he respects Jeff Hardy, does not respect Umaga or Snitsky, and that's why he helped Jeff. Cody picks up a win over Hardcore Holly, and then both guys get RKO'd after, because Randy's just waiting for his torch to get there, and you know, messing everything up along the way.
Exactly. We got a.
Go ahead.
We got a tag team match. Mickie James and Maria defeated Jillian Hall and Melina. And a comedy match. Hornswoggle beat Carlito. Ric Flair is back next week in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Got a big announcement.
Yeah, he does. Randy Orton is here as the Torch Runner, was getting here as well. Guy gets clotheslined, however, as he enters the arena, as it's time to break the code. Did you? It was Y2J Chris Jericho.
Sure is. And you know what? They sure need him right now.
Yes, they do.
They needed Michaels, they needed Undertaker, they needed Edge, they need Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely needed Jericho. Good for Jericho, though, because a couple years away did a lot for him. Feels like the crowd. He was definitely missed in the couple years that he was away. Just seeing, how even in that time frame, how much it changed. It was a good point for him to come back. Good point. Good time for at least the lead in to a character change if we're gonna see happen over the next year. And honestly, with maybe Jericho's best WWE run.
Oh yeah, he's next. I think so.
2.5 years he's there, or 3 years, I guess.
Randy says last time he saw Jericho, Chris was getting fired, but for the best. If Jericho would have stuck around, Randy would have kicked him in the head and ended his career. Randy wants to know what Chris is saving everyone from. Chris says Randy's boring personality and his face and him in general. Jericho's going to take the title from Randy the first chance he gets, and the universe will never be the same again. And that's Raw. Chris Jericho's back. Good stuff. Really good payoff.
So, ECW in St. Petersburg, Florida. Got CM Punk leading off, beats Kenny Dykstra. Shelton Benjamin with Elijah Burke defeated Tommy Dreamer. Jesse and Festus beat the team of Deuce and Domino. Kevin Thorne beat Nunzio, and Kane defeated Big Daddy V and Matt Stryker in a 2-on-1 handicap match. Segments included Layla and Kelly Kelly engaging in a Thanksgiving food fight.
So they're basically turning ECW into Velocity now.
Yes. Early stage NXT.
Take a midweek break here because we got Thanksgiving football to talk about.
We do.
Three games?
We got three games. I think that's one of the first times they started doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the first or second year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I know, obviously, for a while, it was just the Lions and the Cowboys. So,
had the Packers improving to 10-1 on the year with a 37-26 victory over the Lions. Three touchdowns for Brett Favre. 381 yards. Doesn't look like much of a game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But that's obviously typical of, early or mid-2000s Detroit.
Kelly Johnson with his first career Thanksgiving touchdown.
Yep. I was going to say, Detroit was 6-5. They went 8-8 that season. They had some hype, and of course, they went 0-16. That's true. Yeah, the Packers were mostly in control of this game from start to finish.
The Cowboys also improved to 10-1 with a 34-3 victory over the Jets, who are 2-9. Terrell Owens had a touchdown in this game.
Terrence Newman had a 50-yard pick six.
Yep. Jets quarterback Kellen Clemens.
Go Ducks.
And then in the nightcap, we had the Indianapolis Colts improving to 9-2 with a 31-13 win over the Atlanta Falcons, who are still coached by Bobby Petrino for now.
For now, as in this week.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure he leaves very soon. So that's very funny.
Hey, good for him, man. He's back in Arkansas.
God.
Roddy White, Reggie Wayne both had touchdowns in this game. And yeah, that was the Thanksgiving matchups. We go to SmackDown real quick, also from St. Petersburg. We open by seeing that Edge and Vicky Guerrero are a couple now. So that's how everything came about on Sunday. That's fun. It'll be a good time. JBL's in the ring, and MVP's here because JBL is a special presentation. It's the United States Championship ring. MVP says he turned on Matt Hardy because, like JBL, he was weighed down by a tag team partner. JBL understands that. Matt Hardy also, after the knee thing, his appendix burst. So it's a good thing that he had the time off because he's hurt anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah.
MVP says that he's better than Hardy at everything. JBL wants everyone to acknowledge MVP, and they all boo him. Rey Mysterio's here, says that MVP's a punk for what he did to Matt, and MVP will have to deal with him tonight. Miz and Morrison defeat the Major Brothers. Vince puts Finlay and Hornswoggle in a handicap match with Mark Henry because of Finlay helping Hornswoggle at Survivor Series.
Of course.
Kane and Visser have a match and goes to disqualification when Kane's about to take him out and Matt Stryker interferes. really don't need Viscera Wrestling every week. Wade Boggs is here. He's there in Tampa. WWE Hall of Famer Wade Boggs.
Yep.
Big fan of the product as well. Rey Mysterio and MVP then have their match, and it was awesome. Really fun, great TV match. They kind of both got some time to showcase their stuff. MVP won with the ropes, and it got 3.25 stars in the Observer back then, so which was rare for a TV match.
Yeah, very much so.
Edge is facing Batista for the title next week, and then Jesse and Festus plug John Cena's new DVD. And then Jamie Noble flirts with Michelle McCool, and she slaps him. He says he's going to go beat Chuck Palumbo, and he'll be back to check in with her. Finlay and Hornswoggle defeat Mark Henry when Finlay distracts the ref, and Hornswoggle hits Henry with a shillelagh, and then Kali attacks Finlay after. Jamie Noble does, in fact, beat Chuck Palumbo, so we'll have to see if him and Michelle McCool get back together, I suppose. Tori defeats Victoria, and then Edge is here for the Cutting Edge. Vicky Guerrero's with him. So it's great to be back, and he's the new number one contender. He thanks Vicky for making it all possible. Batista comes out, says that Edge and Vicky make him sick. Edge said it made him sick to watch Dave walk around with his title for 4 months. Batista says Edge deserves every ounce of the ass-whooping he's going to give him next week when they wrestle for the title, and he pushes Edge down and leaves. An Undertaker comes out, and Edge flees, and Vicky gets tombstoned. That is how we end SmackDown.
Not a terrible SmackDown, I guess, but, you know, pretty typical of what this era had.
I was going to say, that's about, like, par for the course.
Yeah,
pretty much. Just par for the course. At least they did a decent job of setting some angles up.
That's true.
All right. Before we go to SmackDown, because we didn't touch on it at the start before Survivor Series, I'm just going to recap us a little bit on college football right now, because it's the end of November and things have gotten fucking crazy. Just to put it mildly here. Also, at one point earlier in the week, on November 14th, the NFL reinstated Ricky Williams following an 18-month suspension due to the violation of the league's substance abuse policy. Williams, of course, was busted for marijuana, but he's back in the NFL. But for the Colts, they got bad news. Dwight Freeney had a Lisfranc fracture of his left foot, so he's out for the year. On November the 17th, there was a lot of college football going on. Kansas, who is ranked third in the country right now. Yes, remember, Kansas ranked third. They beat Iowa State 45-7. However, Oklahoma ranked fourth, lost to Texas Tech. Sam Bradford left the game with an apparent concussion in the first quarter. Graham Harrell led the Red Raiders to an upset through the Big 12 South race into complete chaos. Fifth-ranked Mizzou beat Kansas State 49-32, setting up what will be, at this point, the biggest border war in the border war's history the following week. West Virginia beat Cincinnati 28-23. Ohio State beat Michigan 14-3. Seventh-ranked Buckeyes beat the 21st-ranked Wolverines. They won the Big Ten title. Beanie Wells had 220 yards. Michigan was held to 95 yards and just 7 first downs. And Lloyd Carr will be retiring on Monday.
Yeah.
Depending on who you ask, he may have stuck around a little too long.
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, it's fine. It'll get better.
Things are a little different now. Tim Tebow became the first player in Division 1A FBS history with at least 20 touchdowns in both rushing and passing in the same season in a 59-20 victory over FAU. Boston College advances to the ACC Championship game thanks to a late touchdown pass from Matt Ryan to Rich Gunnell to defeat Clemson 20-17. Tennessee scored 16 unanswered in the fourth quarter to beat Vanderbilt 25-24. Vandy attempted a game-winning field goal, but it hit the upright, so not great. And Wisconsin beat Minnesota for Paul Bunyan's axe. The following week, however, things got even crazier. Because on that Friday, LSU beat Arkansas in triple overtime, 50-48. LSU was ranked first in the country. Darren McFadden had 3 touchdowns. He threw for a fourth. The Hogs beat the top-ranked Tigers. So right now, they seem like they might be out of it, which we'll see how that goes. Texas A&M upset 13th-ranked Texas, 38-30. Which in turn gave OU the inside track for the Big 12 game if they can win Bedlam. Also, Aggies head coach Dennis Franchione resigned immediately after the game, which is kind of funny. Hawaii beat Boise State 39-27. Colt Brennan and the Warriors are going to the BCS. That's not going to go well for them, unfortunately. Mizzou beat Kansas 36-28 in the biggest border showdown of all time. Mizzou took a 21-0 lead. They held on to claim a spot in the Big 12 title game. You've certainly seen that picture of Todd Reesing with the turf in his face mask. That's when that happened. Hilarious. West Virginia beat UConn 66-21. They ran for 517 rushing yards against the UConn. Good Lord. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that things are about to fall completely apart for West Virginia, of course, depending on who you ask. Georgia beat Georgia Tech 31-17. Vatech beat Virginia 33-21 to win the Commonwealth Cup. Ninth-ranked Oregon. Oh, right. I forgot. Oregon lost Dennis Dixon in Tucson a few weeks ago to a torn ACL. The Ducks are done. UCLA beat them 16-0. They're going to – I think they play in the Sun Bowl this year. Yeah, Florida beat Florida State. Tennessee beat Kentucky 52-50 in quadruple overtime. Tennessee won a berth to the SEC championship game. They go play LSU. And yeah, so that's it. Let's go around here. Actually, one thing, Mizzou is number one in the country now in the BCS. Surely that means that they're going to be in the title game, right?
Right.
Well. All right. Let's get into our second week here. Top five songs. Staying at number five is Bubbly. Up to four is Low. Staying at three is Apologize. Down to two is Kiss Kiss. And the new number one song is No One by Alicia Keys, which was kind of everywhere, so everywhere. I get that.
Fucking everywhere.
Top five movies. Down to five is B-Movie. Up to four is Hitman. Up to three is This Christmas. Down to two is Beowulf. And up to number one is Enchanted.
Really? All right, before we start,
for Enchanted, by the way.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I agree.
All right, let's see if we can do the rest of the NFL real quick.
Let's talk the NFL because a few amazing things happened on this day.
The Vikings
beat the Giants 41-17, and Eli Manning threw three pick sixes in the game.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
He was the first NFL QB since 1972 to have three pick sixes in one game. Jesus.
It's rough, man. Hopefully he figures it out.
Yep. And then, if you want to take it away here, something crazy happened in the Bears-Broncos game.
Yes, Chicago Bears moved to 5-6 with a 37-34 win over the Denver Broncos. Perhaps the best remembered for Devin Hester getting a punt return and kick return touchdown in the same third quarter and leading Dan Dierdorf to wonder why they're kicking to him still. Good question.
I don't get Sauerbrunn kicking it again.
He was genuinely very mad about it, which is
he was, funny part. Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
Bears drove down to score two touchdowns in the final 5 minutes as well to tie it up and then won it in overtime. Rex Grossman had a one touchdown performance and only one interception, so not too bad there for him.
I'm just realizing what the Monday Night Football game was this week.
The New England Patriots survived a scare and held on 31-28 against the Eagles to improve to 11-0. Patriots needed a touchdown in the fourth quarter to seal the deal. Lawrence Maroney, 4-yard rushing touchdown. They scored 31 points and Brady had a decent enough game, but really the first time we've seen New England in trouble this year.
Yeah. Don't worry, Eagles fans. It's going to take you about 10 years, but you're going to get that lick back. Finally.
AJ Feely had 3 interceptions in this game. So there's your difference.
Good Lord.
Let's see. And then Monday Night Football this week, the Miami Dolphins and Pittsburgh Steelers played a 3-0 game. I imagine this is the one with all the rain.
Yes, it was.
Where the ball just kind of sticks in the ground. All the rain.
Yep.
Jeff Reed kicks a field goal with 17 seconds left to win it. Yeah, I mean, just a famous game.
Yes.
For all the wrong reasons. Pittsburgh was favored by 16 and won by 3.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I think that is it. Oh, yeah, this is also, yeah, it's also Sean Taylor week, which really don't want to get into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that happens.
Rest in peace, Sean Taylor.
That happens on Tuesday. Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So fucking tragic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Very unfortunate. All right, we can get back into Raw here.
We can, and before we get to SmackDown, there is a very consequential NFL moment that happens later on that week.
I would like to say one thing though.
Go ahead.
I've been to FedEx Field. That fucking statue. I hope Dan Snyder goes to hell. Okay, we can move on now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Just want to do one last check if anything else is going on, but I don't think too much is around anything.
No, nothing that weekend, but definitely later in the week, and you'll probably see it if you check the NFL schedule.
Yeah. Okay. So, yes, Raw from Charlotte. We open with Triple H and Jeff Hardy against Umaga and Snitsky, which JR calls a main event like 10 times throughout the match, but it's opening, so whatever. Good match, though. Actually really enjoy the Triple H and Jeff Hardy team. They get a win after like 15 minutes. William Regal says that they're going to face each other at Armageddon.
The end is near.
2 weeks from tonight, there'll be a 3-hour Raw to celebrate the 15th anniversary. That'll be fun, I guess. Those are always a good time.
Yeah, the 3-hour Raws back then actually felt like a big deal because they never were 3 hours.
Yeah. Ric Flair is here. We haven't seen him in about 6 months at this point. He has an announcement to make in his hometown. Everyone's been so good to him. His career can't last forever. Eventually he's going to have to retire. Good. But his announcement is that he will never retire. Oh. This brings Vince out. He's happy that Ric will never retire. He means a lot to the audience. He's a good piece of property, which... Why would you say that? I mean, next time Rick loses, his career is over. Vince goes to leave, but Randy comes out. He thanks Rick for everything he's done, and Randy's going to end his career tonight. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Parker Holly, Cody Rhodes, Jim Duggan, and Super Crazy defeat the Highlanders, Caden Murdoch. Jeff Hardy says that he has become friends with Triple H and he hopes his Armageddon match doesn't, interfere with that. Triple H tells him that it probably will. He's turned on all of his tag partners. Fair.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's talking to Arn Anderson and Barry Windham backstage to kind of elevate the moment here. Chris Jericho's here, came back to save us from Randy Orton. He does the whole thing and asks if Randy's going to give him a title match or not. Randy still hasn't decided. Santino comes out instead, and then they do kind of a back and forth, and Jericho says he'll face Santino right now. Santino accepts, but he wants to give Jericho something to think about, so he goes over and cheap shots Jerry Lawler, and they have a match, and they have a match, and Jericho beats Santino with the Codebreaker. We got a new finisher.
Yeah.
He does.
Well, that's a good one, too.
That a lot of people would spend the next 15 years using.
Yeah.
Correct.
Shawn Michaels talks to Ric Flair backstage, hopes that this is not the last night he ever gets to see Rick wrestle. Well, it's not going to be, but...
Well, nope.
You know.
Foreshadowing. Intense.
Kennedy defeats Brian Kendrick, and he will face Shawn Michaels at Armageddon. Vince tells Hornswoggle to go get him an ice cream sandwich, and Carlito traps him in a room that says free ice cream sandwiches, and then Hornswoggle spray paints a door on the wall and leaves like a Looney Tunes character. Mickey James defeats Melina. Everyone lines up in the back and applauds as Ric Flair heads to the ring. He's got his match against Randy Orton, and as you'd expect, very good match. Lots of drama and intrigue. Eventually, Jericho comes out and distracts the ref. Rick hits a low blow on Randy and rolls him up for the win. And he lives to fight another week.
I guess I'm going to be that guy. I'm really thankful that they don't pin the champion that much anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
I get it, but at the same time...
That's fair.
But I get what they're going for, and I get that the point is, oh, it's an intriguing situation because he's trying to, you know, stay alive or whatever and keep wrestling, but whatever. Okay, moving to ECW. In a dark match, Drew McIntyre wrestled and defeated Casey James. So Drew is on his way for his first run. Kelly Kelly defeated Layla in the opening contest. John Morrison and The Miz defeated Jesse and Festus in a 12-minute, 27-second match. Shelton Benjamin then defeated Shannon Moore, so Benjamin is getting some ECW exposure right now. Yes. And a win streak. And lastly, Big Daddy V defeated Kane, taking 8 minutes and 37 seconds. Okay, before we go to SmackDown, I want to highlight one thing that happened this week that proved to be very consequential towards the future in the NFL. So the Cowboys played the Packers at Texas Stadium for a Thursday night game on NFL Network. It was a week after Thanksgiving, obviously, and it was a big game. The Packers and the Cowboys, they've had big games before. They had big games in the 90s. This felt like a big deal because both teams were 10-1. It was the first time that two teams met at 10-1 in the season since the Giants and the 49ers did in December of 1990. So it was a huge deal. The Cowboys won. But the other thing that happened in this game was Aaron Rodgers' first appearance.
Oh, yeah.
So Favre got injured. He separated his left shoulder, and he had a right throwing arm injury. So Rodgers had to step in relief. So that was the first time anyone got to see him, because he had obviously been on the bench.
Yeah, it's the start of a new era, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, it's obviously, you know, Favre comes back. They make the playoff run, but this is just a glimpse into the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, good for them.
I do remember being inconvenienced by this game, though, because it was on NFL Network and only DirecTV had it at the time. So I couldn't watch.
Right. Yeah.
Because this was only the second year that they were doing games on NFL Network, which proved to be kind of funny because they had the Patriots and Giants that year, but they had to put that on like NBC and CBS because of the fact that the Patriots were trying to go 16-0.
Yeah. Okay. SmackDown from Roanoke. Edge is here to start the show. He said that the fans treated him badly while he was away, and he actually contemplated retirement. No one called to see how he was doing until Vicky Guerrero did, and then she was with him every step of the way, and one thing led to another. It was her idea to make him a cameraman at Survivor Series, and said the Undertaker shouldn't have tombstoned her last week, and he's going to destroy the Undertaker. He dedicated his match tonight to Vicky, and he promised that he'll become the World Heavyweight Champion. Finlay and Hornswoggle defeat Deuce and Domino. Jamie Noble is talking to Michelle McCool again to brag about beating Chuck Palumbo, which, I mean, really isn't that impressive, to be honest with you, but so Jamie Noble talk shit about Palumbo. Palumbo's right behind him, so they're going to have a rematch tonight. CM Punk defeats Kenny Dykstra, which we saw on ECW last week. I don't know why we needed it again. Rey Mysterio and Kane defeat MVP and Viscera. Jamie Noble defeats Chuck Palumbo. And then in the world title match, Batista and Edge have a pretty good back and forth. And then Undertaker comes out and takes them both out, so it's a no contest. And we get Teddy Long coming back, general manager Teddy Long. He's back at his post and says that Undertaker will face Batista and Edge in a triple threat match at Armageddon for the title. So that was SmackDown. Nice to see Teddy Long again.
It is.
And yeah,
nice to see Teddy again.
That is it for November. And that is what we got for today. So we'll do December next time and we'll be all caught up.
Yeah, we'll get you all together, Armageddon. And so much more when we come back for a full episode before Christmas. Anything else before we leave?
No, I don't think so.
I just want to say the next time that we do this, we're talking about 2007. We get to start off the month of December by talking about one of the most chaotic days in college football history.
It's true.
I can't wait.
Should be fun. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Robert's at Robert O'Neill 31. I am at Cameron Santo on X. Follow us at the barbershare.net on X and Instagram, facebook.com/barbershare digital. New 79th Palace expected after the Lions game, so be on the lookout for that as well. Yeah, bring Cody Ballinger back or give me death. This is Ruthless Aggression. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. Enjoy the week of wrestling. We'll talk about everything December with you next week. Take it easy.